You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Welcome to the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for joining us this morning. George Kurtz and I taking around the world of the NFL. We're going to start breaking down games starting with the Thursday night game, but we'll take you through each and every matchup, what those matchups that you can highlight, players that you can start, sit, whatever it is that we can do to provide more information, up-to-the-minute injury information, wherever it's available, we will do that for you. So thanks again for joining us on TuneIn, from iHeartRadio, from the Fantasy Sports Radio app, and any terrestrial radio stations across the country. Thank you very much. Hopefully you enjoy what we're about to go through. So, George, we'll just start back with the Thursday night contest, which was one for the books. As far as the ending was concerned, we had a seemingly unlimited string of plays at the end of the game. We thought we had a touchdown, then we didn't, then we had an off, then we had a touchdown, and then we didn't, then we had an incomplete pass, and then we didn't, and then finally it was a completed touchdown pass. By the way, on the one where Jared Cook got the holding call, it wasn't holding, and then he dropped it. It was right to him.
Oh, yeah, he's got to catch that ball. And that solves this whole ball problem. He would have been over.
It wasn't holding.
Listen, some people are going to tell you that Crabtree, that wasn't a push-off. Looked like a push-off to me that the defender fell.
Yeah, me too.
So,
like he got pushed. That was my opinion.
That's why I thought as well. Listen, his arm's extended. I mean, it looked clearly like OPI to me, but some people say, whatever. Everybody sees different things, so it's not an issue here. Like I said, Cook, he had an interesting last couple of plays now, didn't he? Almost got in, didn't get in. Right, there was the right call. Replay reviewed it, and it was the absolutely correct call. Then he lets the ball go through his hands, but that's always been Cook, right? Because I'm a Cowboy fan. Yep. I hate Cook.
Do not pick up Jared Cook, by the way, please.
Oh, but you know those questions are coming.
I mean, he can if you want. But you're just trying to find the next time he does it, which may not even be this season. So, yeah, he had a great game. No, I don't think he's going to be a bigger part of the offense. It's Cooper. It's Crabtree. They're going to try and mix in Jalen Richard even more now because Lynch will at least be out for one game, whether it's this upcoming Week 8 or another one after that, as he goes through the appeal process. I don't think he's going to win the appeal. I think it's either Week 8 or Week 9 that he's going to be sitting. So,
Zeke won't win the appeal. We know
Marshawn. Did I say Zeke? I meant Marshawn.
I mean, I guess, listen, you appeal because you have nothing to lose, right? I mean, this is nothing to lose. But yeah. I guess if it was two games, they might have gone down to one, but you have to be suspended for this. So they can't, what are they going to give you, a quarter? I think it's just you're appealing because you have the right to do it.
So we got two polls up on FNTSY Radio on Twitter. Connect with us there and vote on the polls. Which quarterback would you rather have for the rest of the season, Smith or Derek Carr? George, you say?
I'm going Derek Carr. I think it's somewhat close here, but I'll go Derek Carr. I just think they're going to have to throw the ball more than KC will.
And which Raiders wide receiver do you have more faith in for the rest of the season, Mike Crabtree or Amari Cooper?
I guess I'm a Carr to Crabtree guy.
So there we go. I'll update you on those polls after the break. It's Mike and George are breaking down games after this on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I want to update you on the polls that we have going. George, I'm going to ask you what you think. Where do you think people are? You got plenty of time left. This thing will run through tomorrow morning. So if you want to vote, go to Twitter and go to at FNTSY Radio. By the way, I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz. So hit us up with any questions you want over the course of the weekend. Although I'm not really going to be available today, I'll try and catch up with it tomorrow morning after the show. So which Raiders receiver do you have more faith in for the rest of the season? You thought it would be close. Who do you think's winning right now?
The Raiders receiver, I think, will be close. I'm going to say it's Cooper because he had the big game. Generally, we're a society that short-term memory. So I'll say Cooper.
I would have agreed with you, and Michael Crabtree is running away with it right now, almost 70-30,
nice.
69-31. So people are not buying Amari based on that big performance. I think a good thing is a lot of our listeners are probably savvy, and they realize that this could be peaks and valleys the rest of the way for Cooper. It's been extreme, though, for these first 6-7 weeks of the season, the peaks and valleys. I don't expect that to continue. I think it'll smooth out a little bit. I don't think he'll play another game like this the rest of the year. I also don't see a lot of ones in his future, ones and twos in his future. So anyway, he's running away with that. On the QB question, which QB would you rather start on your fantasy team for the rest of the season? Alex Smith versus Derek Carr. How do you think this one's shaping up?
I think this one could be closer. I know we said Carr, and I'll certainly stand by that. But I can see Smith for the damage he's done so far. But then he has that reputation of years past of doing nothing. I'll say it's closer, but still Carr.
Really close for me. I went with Carr as well. You could probably bet against Carr just based on the fact that he isn't nursing through an injury. But right now, our folks listening that have voted 52-48 in favor of Alex Smith right now. So that's close enough that can change. It's only a couple of hundred votes in thus far. So we do have a question from our esteemed producer, Pete Considori. George, he's in the same league, the same one where we picked Jimmy Graham out of a whole bunch of tight ends. Would you start Cam Newton or Russell Wilson at QB?
Cam Newton or Russell Wilson? Russell Wilson going up against the Giants defense. That defense is legit for the Giants. The defense is not the problem with the Giants. So that front four can get after people. James Pierre-Paul, do we think the Hawks fixed their offensive line during the bye week? Me not think so. So I'm going Cam Newton here.
Yeah, I'm going Cam Newton as well. Going up against the Bears, he's got his center back. He might have a little bit more of a complimentary rushing attack. The only problem is that Kelvin Benjamin is on that injury report. He wasn't practicing, George. It was actually, as of late in the week, it was trending that he may not play. We'll have to check that during the break. I don't know what the latest news is on him, but he's really nursing a pretty significant banged up knee, at least.
He was a full par participant yesterday in practice, so he's listed as questionable, but I'd be very surprised if he doesn't play Sunday.
So that's good. So then you have Benjamin back, you got the center back. Look, when you look back at Cam's last game against the Eagles, he's got really good rushing numbers because he's the only one that could run. He threw the ball 52 times. I don't think hopefully he doesn't do that for the rest of the season. I didn't think Cam played a good game. I think you and I talked about it. It was a lot of throws, a lot of missed throws, a lot of interceptable passes. So I think this will be a more complementary attack, a more balanced attack, I should say. And then, I agree with you. I'll move forward with Cam Newton on that question. So there you go, Pete. Pete, just getting all the questions in as we roll along through the show. So let's get to the games, George. And first one I want to talk about, I'm not going by time. I'm going by the high-profile nature of these games because I want to make sure we get them in. And I'm going with the Sunday night game first, which is Atlanta Falcons at the New England Patriots. We obviously have a huge total on this game. I believe it's upwards of 56 or 57 at last check. So a lot of points expected to be scored in this game. You know, right now it is 55. So give me your thoughts here. What are you worried about with the Falcons? What are you excited about?
I don't know if I'm worried about anybody here. The points going to be put on the board here, right? We know the Patriots, hey, they're banged up. They can't stop anybody anyway. Who aren't you starting here? Seriously, if you have somebody on the Falcons but you're not starting him, why is he on your team? You're starting Coleman, Freeman, Jones, Sanu, if he plays, I'm putting him in there as well. You know, so I can't think of anybody. Tyler Gabriel, like I said, he's the one guy that maybe you probably don't start here, but then why is he on your team? Get rid of him. You know, so Sanu's the one big question mark here because he was limited yesterday at practice, so we don't know if he's going to go on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, there's actually not too much to break down here because it's a 56. And, so I said 55. It's actually moved up to 56.5. Pats are a 3.5-point favorite. It's a really big game for the Falcons. I just don't love their chances. The funny part is New England has really scuffled along this season, playing really terrible defense at times, and they'll probably win on Sunday night and be 5-2. And
people Falcons win this game.
You think so?
It's hard to trust them too, right? They've lost some games, and they've won some games they should have lost. I mean, they should have lost that game to Chicago. They should have lost to Detroit, but somehow won.
This season could be a lot worse for them right now.
It
than
really
a 3-2.
Can. So they could, like I say, they could easily be 1-5.
They should have lost that Bears game. And look, our colleague Scott Engel, who I did shows with earlier this week, he gets incensed when people say the words like should. I'm not suggesting that they didn't win. I'm just saying there were some plays that the Bears messed up at the end of the game. That
they dropped a couple of touchdown passes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think at the wide receiver who dropped one, Jordan Howard dropped one, but I don't know if he would have scored anyway. It would have been at the 6-inch yard line.
I think it was Bellamy in the back of the end zone. Like just
it wasn't even the back.
The
he just dropped
pass.
It. I mean, it was awful. I think it was weird. And then the third down pass wasn't all that pretty, but they should have won the game. Anyway, you look at it, they should have won that game, and they didn't. The Bears snatched defeat from the jaws of victory.
So let me ask you about the Pats' running attack, which is something you and I typically avoid. But, you know, as drafts go on, you end up catching a Patriots running back. What do you do now with Deion Lewis getting infused back into the fold here? Mike Gillisley may not be the exclusive goal line back anymore. And James White still remains the one guy you can sort of trust because at least he gets a few touches every week.
I want nothing to do with Gillisley. All right, he had this big game in week one. That's nice. He has done nothing since.
He was on pace for 54 touchdowns after, or 48 touchdowns after week one.
Shockingly, he's not going to get there.
You know? I know. So, I thought there was a chance.
Yeah, me too. I was banking on that. But yeah, Gillisley, I'm done. I'm gone. Next, he's not. Yeah. He's nothing. There's nothing there. Nothing to see here. So Gillisley, I'm moving on from. I think in this game, it comes down to which one is it. James White or Deion Lewis? The Falcons have a lot of trouble with backs out of the backfield. They had trouble in the Super Bowl. Nothing's really changed here. But which one is it? And that's the rub. You know, I mean, it could be both, but generally both. With Bill, it's usually one or the other. You know, is it going to be James White because of what he did in the Super Bowl, or Deion Lewis because he's been hot lately? I don't know. And that's the guessing game you're playing.
Yeah, which is why we hate owning these guys. But I'll say James White just because I feel like saying it.
I'm leaning more towards White, too. If I had to choose, Mike, I agree with you. I'd go White.
I just can't. I can't give you any other reason than a slightly educated guess. But let's go on to the next game. We got Saints at Packers. That is a 5-point. Yeah, there's a bunch of games this week, George, as I'm going through the lines that are in that Vegas zone of 5-point spreads, which is a no-go. Like you don't want when games are on 5 in Vegas. It means Vegas doesn't really know what to do with it. 5, 5.5 is just a really tough spread. So this game started at 5.5, and all the money moved on to the Packers. So it's down to 4.5-point favorite are the Packers. They're at home, so a home underdog. You got the Saints going on the road. People don't love the Saints on the road, so that's why the money has moved there. But you got Brett Hundley here. What do we do?
Oh, yeah, with Hundley, you just don't know. No one knows. You can't really judge him from last week because the game plan wasn't for him. It was for Aaron Rodgers. The problem is Green Bay's beat up on the offensive line. So can Hundley move and escape the pressure that he's going to have to make the plays like Aaron Rodgers does? We don't know that. I think the Packers will try and run early because most teams do, right? Protect the defense. But what happens when the defense is giving up 14, 17 points? You're down 17-3. Then you got to throw the ball left and right. And you don't want that from Hundley. You have to throw the ball 40-plus times. But he probably will have. He most likely will have to. So I think the receivers still have value as far as Nelson, Cobb. Not the same value they would have with Aaron Rodgers, obviously. But they'll still have value because the volume will be there. You know, so I think, listen, I'm starting the receivers. Ty Montgomery, yeah, you probably have to flex. Aaron Jones, same thing because that's another timeshare there. Hundley, though, pretty much only
Would you play, if you're an Aaron Jones owner, you would consider him? Despite the fact that Montgomery's going to play.
Yeah, I think you probably have to. Once again, it depends on what you have on your roster as far as what your construction is. Maybe you're doing better than we are. I think Aaron Jones is actually the better runner than Ty Montgomery. I truly do, but I think they're still going to give Ty Montgomery first crack.
Yeah. Saints running backs, Kamara, obviously Saints wide receiver. Ted Ginn has been a popular question this week. I think depending on your options, Ted Ginn is somebody you can look at here because Willie Snead is banged up. We're not sure what you're going to get out of him. Obviously, Michael Thomas is a go. Kobe Fleener, good luck. I'm just about done with that guy forever. But the Kamara Ingram thing, what do you do there? I think they're both startable.
Yeah, I think he's starting both. Right, Kamara's great in the PPR. I think, listen, that trade Adrian Peterson was good for everybody. Good for fantasy owners, good for Peterson, good for Kamara, good for Ingram, good for New Orleans, good for the Cardinals.
If you had them both in on the same team, would you start them both?
Depends on what else I have there, but I'd probably leaning towards yes in tomorrow's game. Green Bay can't stop anybody.
I actually agree. So George and I will be back. We'll talk Bengals, Steelers, and Washington Eagles after this.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. And, George, we're continuing to go through the games on Sunday. We talked Falcons, Pats, Saints, Packers. Now we're going to flip it over to Bengals, Steelers. Big, obviously, divisional rival game. The Bengals have struggled early this season, but they're bouncing back a little bit here. It's another one of the 4 o'clock games. They've won a couple in a row. Steelers off a big win in Kansas City. They got fined back into the Middle Ages for a variety of plays that occurred. But look, the Steelers are never really complicated as far as Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell are concerned. But Ben Roethlisberger has been a concern. So. He's the type of guy, I can't possibly come up with the scenario that of the players that you're deciding over him, but Ben, unfortunately, has been the type of quarterback where if you drafted him to be a starter, you've picked up another guy and have probably benched him from week to week.
Yeah, I don't think you're going with Ben here. I mean, he just really hasn't had a good season at all. So now you got to bank that he's going to play well against Cincinnati. Coming off a bye, I think this game plays more closer to the vest, 21-20, 24-20, something like that. I just don't see Ben having a big game here. You're starting Bell. You're starting Brown, of course. You know, those guys are always must-starts here. Ben at home, we always give a second look to. But yeah, you can play the same game. Roethlisberger or Winston?
I would go Ben. I really can't trust Jameis at all.
I think I would too. I don't feel great, but I don't feel great about it.
No. Bills defense has been good. Jake Seeley, our resident accuracy, highest accuracy ranker, who writes for RotoExperts.com. And please go to RotoExperts.com and find the exclusive Edge in-season package. Enter promo code FREERADIO for a special discount. You're going to find all kinds of rankings, waiver wire suggestions in there, a lot of good stuff. George writes for RotoExperts.com as well. He writes a defensive article showing you which defenses you can target each and every week. What's the title of that article, George?
Defense, I think. We went to week 7 defense.
I don't know if it's got like a special fancy title, you know, like sneaky plays or
the titles are above my pay.
Who
grade,
to attack
man.
And like on the attack. I don't know. We'll do some marketing brainstorming after the show. We got to snazz that thing up.
Yeah, we'll get
anyway,
right on that.
Jake has Roethlisberger at 13, which is the type of ranking that you get when you're trying to make decisions. So he does have him in the QB1 range. He had Derek Carr at 12, and Derek Carr might finish right at the top of the list on the week. But, you know, he has him right around guys like Blake Bortles going up against Indy and Jared Goff against the Cardinals and Tyrod Taylor against the Bucks. They're all in that range there. The Steelers are a 5-point favorite at home with a 40.5 over-under total. So not expected to be a high-scoring game, like George said. Could be a 24-20 type of thing, 21-20. Well, what would that be? 23 to 18. That doesn't make sense, but whatever. That's about what Vegas has as an implied total for the Steelers, 23 points, which doesn't lead you to believe that Roethlisberger, again, would have a big game. So Bengals are concerned. It's an A.J. Green day. Joe Mixon has come up a lot this week. I do think this is a week where you can start him. The Steelers are a little bit banged up. Stephon Tuitt, I have to double-check that, but he didn't practice earlier in this week. We'll see where he's at. Linebacker Vince Williams was banged up as well. So a little bit of depth issues for the Steelers. I think Joe Mixon is a guy that you can start depending on your options. Correct, George?
I think you're probably starting Joe Mixon once again. Do you have better options than Joe Mixon? You have two better running backs?
Probably
really?
Not.
You know,
probably
I don't expect good things from him. When the Steelers are good against the run, they shut down Hunt's running ability last week. They just couldn't shut down his catching ability. But the Bengals don't use Mixon in that role. So I'm not expecting big things from Mixon. He probably needs a touchdown tomorrow to have a good fantasy day. So it wouldn't shock me if he gets something like 45 yards rushing against something silly like that.
Jake Seeley ranks him at number 21, which is about kind of what George and I are discussing. Like, do you have two guys better than him? Probably not. But, you know, low-end RB2 is probably the expectation there. Would you rather have Joe Mixon or Duke Johnson in a PPR league? George?
I think I'd go Duke Johnson here. I think now that they switch quarterbacks again, I think that's good for Duke. So I'm going to go Duke Johnson. And obviously I don't feel great about it, but I think Duke's had a really good season here. And we just haven't seen much from Mixon. You know, if I knew he was going to get the ball 20 times tomorrow, I'd feel better about it. But I don't know that.
Joe Mixon or Doug Martin?
Martin. I like Martin. I like what I've seen from him. Fresh legs, looks good.
Yeah, so we'll move over to the next game. Washington goes to Philly to take on the 5-1 Eagles, who have a lead there in the NFC East. Perhaps unexpected, but as we've talked about on this show many times, Carson Wentz playing pretty well, and the Eagles' defense has played well to get started. There are ways to attack them, obviously, on the outside. I'm not suggesting that Kirk Cousins can't get some work done tomorrow or on Sunday, but here we go. Washington at Philly. What are your expectations here, George? This is the Monday night game, I would say, but Philly is a 4.5-point favorite right now with a total of 49, so points expected here.
This is going to be a game that's going to determine a lot of my week because I have a lot of players on both these teams, and they're all going. I expect a lot of points. This game smells 28-27, 31-30, something silly like that. Lots of points here. So, once again, he's on my roster. He's in the game. Philadelphia, probably no Josh Norman, maybe no Breedland too. So their secondary could be really beat up here. This is good news for Jeffrey. I think Torrey Smith goes here as well. Here Nelson Aguilar goes. Zach Ertz, of course, goes. My only question here would be Wendell Smallwood. You know, and I think I'm leaning towards starting him as well. Definitely going to LeGarrette Blount. Like I said, I can't find a reason not to start these guys.
Coach Jay Gruden said he expects running back Rob Kelly to play and start Monday against the Eagles. So. I have one team where I have Tevin Coleman in the lineup, but then it's like a Joe Mixon, Rob Kelly, Marlon Mack, Frank Gore kind of scenario. I'm going to play Mixon in that second spot and probably opt for a receiver in the flex. I already had Amari Cooper go, but Rob Kelly is a guy that some people, maybe out of desperation since he's starting, may have to throw out there.
Oh, I think Rob Kelly's a good play. I think, once again, low-end raw running back, too. You're going to need a touchdown out of him. I think Kelly's fine. I think he should be picked up in all leagues. At the very least, he should be picked up in leagues if he's on the waiver wire. I think he is a decent enough running back for the rest of the season here. So I like Rob Kelly. Once again, it depends on what you have. I know I had a question on Twitter about running backs. This guy's been driving me crazy, by the way. You ask a question, and no matter what answer you give him, he then tries to tear it apart. Listen, if you have your own guys, you know, like yesterday he asked me, Jordan Reed or Hunter Henry, which one would you start?
I know that gets so under your skin. So that's why I'm laughing. What was the question?
Hunter or Reed? Which one you start tomorrow? Hunter against Denver, Reed against Philadelphia.
I mean, he's got a couple of extra days to try and get healthy, so I'll just... Oh, man, that's a tough one.
But the thing is,
tight end questions.
You know, I'm going Reed here. He's got the better match. I don't want Hunter Henry against the
I don't
want to
say Reed, but I'm going to say him.
Right. I mean, and he's like, he's telling me all the reasons why it shouldn't be Reed. Well, then if you want to go Henry, go Henry. It's your team. I mean, it's close enough. You know, no one's going to berate you for it. And then he asked another question this morning about a whole bunch of running backs, which I'm trying to find here. And he didn't like that answer either. It was like, well, once again, if you have your own players, why are you asking me the question? Kelly, Procise, Mack, Rawls, Deion Lewis. Which two? Rob Kelly, CJ Procise, Mack, Rawls, Lewis, PPR.
Kelly, Procise, Rawls,
Mack, Deion Lewis.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's a whole bunch
of... I think Kelly is a guy that he actually jumps out at me there to play from the rest of them. Marlon Mack had, like, two touches last week, and everybody's, like, starting to talk positively about him. Like, yeah, you could take a shot with Marlon Mack, but do you really want to up against the Jaguars defense? I don't know. I think that's a total... It's a dart throw with Marlon Mack, even though it looks... If you're reading the tea leaves, it looks like Mack may take over for Gore or at least get some of the carries away from Gore. I'm going to do it this week after two touches last week. With Frank Gore still in the mix? Probably not. And God, the Seattle thing. I mean, Procise might actually play. He could be a decent PPR option here. The Giants don't do well against backs out of the backfield either. So... if Procise got cleared sometime before, I guess it would have to be before 1 o'clock, right? That's another complication.
Right.
Anyway, I mean, Kelly's the one guy I have there, and I think it's a decision between Procise and Mack. I don't like Thomas Rawls. I just don't want to play
Rawls is not even in this conversation. I would never start Rawls, and I'm not starting Procise for the reason you mentioned. Mack, I'd love to go Mack, but he was invisible last week for whatever reason, and they don't have a great matchup this week. They're playing Jacksonville. That's not a good matchup if he does play here. I went Kelly and Lewis here. And listen, I even wrote it's all risky.
Oh, Lewis, that's the other guy. That's the guy I would pick. Sorry, I was forgetting Deion Lewis. So it would be Deion Lewis for me. Yeah. I don't want to deal with all that other stuff.
So you and I have to go with the same guy. He writes a whole bunch of things. That's why they pay the big bucks. I'm not asking you for Bell or Crowell. What the hell does that have to do with anything? You asked me who I would pick, and I told you who I would pick.
So, by the way, man of the people, George Kurtz, you can hit him up on Twitter, at George Kurtz, and hit us up at FNTSY Radio for the rest of the show.
Nobody likes you, Mike.
Anyway, we had Reed. Jake had Reed at 7 and Hunter Henry at 11. So a little bit of backup there. So, the Washington Eagles game does have a lot of different options here. I think both quarterbacks are obviously playable. Wendell Smallwood is a guy that's creeping back into people's lineups because he's finally getting healthy. I think all the receivers are probably good options here, as you've suggested, George.
Yeah, actually, I just see a lot of points coming here. A lot of points indeed coming here. I think it's going to be...
Can you trust Crowder anymore, by the way?
No, I can't trust Pryor either. Yeah. I don't know what... Crowder's weird. I get Pryor once again because, he's new. Maybe not know the opposite. Maybe he's not the player we thought he was. Maybe this is why Cleveland didn't offer him more money.
And I
maybe
totally agree with you.
Right, maybe this is why the other 30 teams in the NFL didn't go make a big play for him. So it tells you something. Maybe they saw things that we didn't. So, but Crowder... I mean, he was there last year, Mike. What's the problem? He slowed down at the end of last year, too. We assumed it was because of a long season. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just not the play we thought he was either.
Well, we're going to come back. We'll talk Cowboys, Niners, Broncos, Chargers, a little bit about Seahawks, Giants after the break. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts. We're back on Fantasy Sports Radio Network after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I want to tell you about a contest we have going on this week and each and every week as we support DKMS and their mission to fight blood cancer. So please go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS. Once you're there, you'll find out about their cause, their mission to fight blood cancer. You have an opportunity to sign up and be part of the bone marrow donation pool. You can make a donation and you can certainly learn more about DKMS and their cause. But in addition to going to either dailyroto.com/DKMS or rotoexperts.com/DKMS, you're going to find a link to Fantasy Draft. And in that link to Fantasy Draft, there are a partner in this mission to fight blood cancer. They're running a free DFS contest, and the winner of each weekly free DFS contest, again sponsored by DKMS on Fantasy Draft, wins an opportunity to get into the week 17 grand prize contest, a ticket, as you if you will, to get into the week 17 grand prize contest. And George, if they win the week 17 grand prize contest, they receive
two tickets to the big game. Mike,
wow, he went with a big-time announcer voice. I like it. Two tickets to the big game, Super Bowl 52 in Minnesota. So play for free, win for free, hopefully, and obviously help us fight the cause and the mission against blood cancer. So thank you for that. RotoExperts.com/DKMS or DailyRoto.com/DKMS. So we'll keep going through the games, George. Let's do Seahawks-Giants right now because we talked about ProSize and Rawls. ProSize is questionable, but it looks like it's leaning towards him coming back. They have some other guys banged up on defense. Cliff Avril was placed on injured reserve because of an ongoing neck injury. It actually might spell the end of a really productive career for Cliff Avril. I know Pete Carroll has been kind of open about saying he's got some big decisions to make, and I think that might be the end of his career. Michael Bennett also on injured is also banged up. He's questionable. Cornerback Jeremy Lane questionable, but as we've talked about for about 2 weeks now, the Giants don't have a lot of options. Sterling Shepard might be an option here. So if you are in those deeper leagues and you're desperate, he might play. The problem is it's a 4 o'clock start.
Yeah, that's always the issue. I generally don't take too many chances, Mike, when it comes to roster decisions. Unless it's great players, I want to make sure I don't want to take any zeros because you know, you're mad about the Cooper thing, which really nobody can really get on you about because a lot of us drafted Zach Cooper this week. But if I make a move, you know, and I this guy made him, I'm going to put him on my lineup. I take that zero, that'll tick me off. I don't care how many points he gets or the other guy doesn't get. It just makes me mix. I know better than that. You know, so in this game, I said there's very little I want to worry about with the Giants here. Engram's about the only player I'd start on this team. Darkwood, maybe. Seahawks are much better against the pass than they are against the run, but this is a fresh team coming off a bye. I think they have a statement to make here in that offensive line. I'm not convinced they fixed the problems because they had a good week, good game against Denver last week. I think it's more of an aberration than anything else.
Say that you have Sterling Shepard. I want to pick somebody that's at a 4 o'clock game. All right. Sterling Shepard or Benny Fowler for the Broncos, because Sanders isn't going to play. And Fowler's been a hot waiver wire pickup.
And I'm going to the waiver wire again. I'm going to go Fowler. I don't see the Giants passing game working here. I just don't see it. So I'm probably go. I'll go with Fowler. It's against the Chargers, and you know they're going to pay attention to Demaryius Thomas, right? They're going to try and take him. He's banged up too. So that's where Hayward will be on Thomas. I'd go with Fowler here. You're right. He is a hot waiver wire addition this week. I would take my shots there.
How about Sterling Shepard or – I don't want to pick Marquise Lee because he's hurt. How about Sterling Shepard? I got to try and pick a 4 o'clock guy to make it more – how about Sterling Shepard versus one of the Seahawks wide receivers, not named Doug Baldwin?
Oh, God. But I think the Seahawks wide receivers have the same problem. I mean, Giants secondary is good. Right, DRC is back. Janoris Jenkins will be on. I don't know. I don't think Baldwin has a big game this week because Janoris Jenkins will be on for a good part of it. Eli Apple, I hope he plays better. He's had some problems this season. I'll go Shepard there just because he's the better name, better player than all these other guys. But like I said, I don't think any of these guys, I don't think the receivers for either teams do anything here. Jimmy Graham, like I said, I like the tight ends. I like Ingram and Graham. That's it.
All right, rank these three guys. Sterling Shepard, Jameson Crowder, and Mohamed Sanu if he plays.
I'll go Sanu one if he plays, but I don't think he does. I don't think New England could stop anybody. I got to go Crowder too. I know he's done nothing, but that's the matchup I want here. I think there's a lot of points coming in that game. But Crowder, I'm also ready to move on from him. So, you know, that's a tough one there. I don't like Shepard's matchup at all here. And plus, I don't know if he can finish the game either, how healthy he actually is.
Yeah, Nelson Agholor. So these rankings are all right around the same. Jake Seeley has these guys ranked all in the same range, basically end of the wide receiver three conversation. He's got Nelson Agholor at 42, who I actually think could be kind of interesting with the banged up secondary in Washington. I could see him vaulting over some of those other names I just mentioned. So close the book there on the G-men. If you want Orleans, if you're going to ride the hot hand with Orleans Darkwa, God bless. I don't see it. I think he had a really good game, and you'll be taking a lot of single-digit games from him before something like that happens again. That's my thoughts on Darkwa in general.
Yeah, I think I feel the same as you. Great game. And once again, I just view last week as an aberration for the Giants. I don't know what was up with the Broncos. You know, did they not take the Giants seriously? This is why I rarely bet on professional football. It's just you never know. So I think it's like more of a aberration last week. That being said, I said it earlier, Seahawks are much better against the pass than they are the run. So Darkwood could have some value here, but you're talking more as a flex, not even a low RB2, more of a flex play. I don't trust this Giants offensive line whatsoever. I think the Seahawks in some ways are just going to have their ways with them.
I don't disagree with that at all. Let's keep moving around to some of the other games here. How about Cardinals-Rams? I find that to be kind of an interesting game, Cardinals-Rams, because you got the Adrian Peterson dynamic. Obviously, the Cardinals are a team where people were ready to sell on them. And they come up with a couple of wins here, and they're back on the winning side of things, thankfully for me, because I have them over 8.5. But we have a 45.5 total here. Rams are a 3-point favorite at home. So Vegas really views these teams as dead even. They just give the Rams the field goal because they're at home. So give me your thoughts on this game. I've seen Jared Goff ranked in like top 15. So he's becoming a viable quarterback at times, a streaming option if you had Aaron Rodgers and Jared Goff was out there and you could stream it. Goff is actually a viable option here, even if Patrick Peterson is able to shut down half the passing game.
Yeah, well, the problem is, I mean, I think Arizona has an interesting decision here. Do you really want Peterson taking Sammy Watkins out of the game? Hasn't Watkins been taking himself out of the game?
Yeah.
You know, so maybe you want to put him against Woods or Cooper Kupp and let someone else worry about Watkins. The problem is, I don't know if they'll do that, but that's probably where I would go. Unless Watkins all of a sudden decides to play, because he's been really, other than that one Thursday night game, he's been invisible this year.
I agree.
Extremely disappointing here. So this is an interesting matchup here. I don't think I would start Goff.
The best thing that happened to Sammy Watkins' season is that Amari Cooper played so badly for a month, so nobody had to focus on him.
If you're playing the game, Goff or Winston, I think I'm going Winston. I think I trust the Cardinals a little bit more than I trust the Rams here and the passing. I think I'll try and run the ball quite a bit here. This is an interesting game, however, but I'm not seeing Goff with a big game here.
I do like I really want to focus in on this game from a fantasy standpoint because of the dynamic that you just mentioned. I would think they would leave Peterson on Watkins, even despite the point that you just made. So I think it actually leaves some stuff open. Justin Bethel's been on the other side. He's been getting smoked by a lot of guys. I think Cooper Kupp could have a bunch of touches here. I think Robert Woods, as you mentioned, could be a guy to play here. I think those are going to be some DFS options for people as well. On the Cardinals side of the ball, we know about Larry Fitzgerald. Is Adrian Peterson thing, George, is it an aberration? Or having a big game like that could be an aberration, but do we have some expectations for him for the rest of the year? It's a banged-up offensive line. I think this is a little bit more of a sell situation than a buy situation on Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, I don't think AP is going to have a big game as he had last week again. Maybe took them a little bit off guard because, you know, he was terrible in New Orleans. Listen, I think the trade was great for everybody. Why he was in New Orleans is beyond me. He didn't never fit that system. We see this over and over again with NFL coaches or general managers where they sign guys, you know, a 3-4 defensive end, all of a sudden you put him in a 4-3. It doesn't work. It's weird. And AP never fit that system. So, like I said, I think it was great for everybody except Andre Ellington.
True, who picked up a zero last week, which I don't expect to happen again. It's just, look, they rode the hot hand. They had a big lead. What are you going to do? For those of us that recommended Andre Ellington or had him in our lineups, you're just going to have you're going to have games blow up like that without expectation. To your point about the about having players out of the system, that's why I appreciate when coaches come into new teams and they're like, look, we're just going to trade you because it doesn't make sense for you to be here. Like Sean McDermott did that in Buffalo. He got rid of Reggie Ragland. He traded Ronald Darby. He's like, you guys don't really fit the system, so I'm just going to let you move on with your career in a place where it makes sense, as opposed to you getting frustrated about a lack of playing time here. I want my system, guys, so you guys are gone.
It's not baseball. Well, hey, you know, it's individual batter versus pitcher. If you can hit, you can hit. Doesn't matter what the manager is. In football, it matters. If you don't fit the system, you're not going to be used correctly. Like I said, AP was, it was just strange. It was always a marriage made in hell.
Yeah, you know, and now they got, and it also, Kamara's play obviously made him expendable. They didn't have to tiptoe around the rookie anymore because Kamara has proven himself to be a worthy piece in that offense. Mark Ingram owners may get sketchy. I'm just telling you, don't worry about it. He's not going to blow it up every week, but he got limited touches, I put that in quotes, last year. He still had over 1,000 yards, and he still got into the end zone on occasion. So they're both viable moving forward. We'll come back, close out the show, get Georgia's Survivor pick, and we'll close it out after this on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Rocking it out to close the show on the Roto Experts. Mike and George, we appreciate you listening today. Wherever you found us, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Fantasy Sports Radio app, or a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country. Thank you so much. We appreciate you helping us push this network along and gain more popularity. And hopefully one of these days, all of this experience on the radio will allow me to not start somebody over Amari Cooper on Thursday night like I did in one league. So if one of you out there did that, you got company. You're not the only one. It's a really shallow league for me. I kind of have to make these tough decisions every week on certain players, and I ranked him behind Garcon and Hogan. I just did. Like, what am I going to do, George? I had him on the bench.
I would have started. I would have done the same as you. That's flat out Oz not being nice to Mike Blewett. There's no way I would have started Cooper this week. Like I said, it wasn't just him. Carr was banged up as well. He looked pretty bad last week. You mentioned the injury, the transfer process. So we didn't know what was going on here. I actually think that was kind of an easy decision for you. You had two good Garcon against the Cowboys. Come on, that's pretty easy. And Hogan against a game we expect a ton of points to be scored. I said, you're not going to end up losing 40. Listen, neither guy's going to have 47 points. But in the end, you'll probably end up losing about half that.
Yeah, so the reality is he had Carr. I benched Cooper. So I'm in a huge hole. It doesn't mean I'm done, but I'm also done in by the fact that my real decision was the receivers I'm not even going to beat myself up over. You can start only one running back and one flex. So it was really three guys between Kamara, Cooper, and Lynch. And Kamara was in. I was going to have Kamara in no matter what. So it really came down to a choice between Lynch and Cooper. With Carr being banged up, my thought process was, well, I do expect some points here because the Chiefs haven't held anybody down, but I don't know that it's going to go through Cooper. I thought Lynch might have an opportunity to fall into the end zone once or twice. It all got exacerbated when he got kicked out of the game, so it makes it look even worse. Basically a 46-point error on my part.
Yeah, but that hurts a little bit more. Now you throw Lynch at him, I would have never started Lynch. I have no faith in
him. Yeah, so it's my fault. You know, I made a call. I just was really more worried about Derek Carr than anything else. It wasn't like, Cooper's going to throw up ones and twos for the rest of the year. I just didn't know if Carr was even healthy. I was surprised that he had played in the previous game. So anyway, here we go. We got, we're down to the wire on the polls, and I'll get to the polls here in a second, George. I'm going to have you line up here's the polls right here. Which Raiders receiver do you have more faith in for the rest of the season? Michael Crabtree has opened up his lead, 72% for Crabtree and 28% for Amari Cooper. So not too
people
many.
Just mad now.
Yeah. I actually said Amari. I think I just clicked on it to see what it was. But Amari is not going to win that one with a lot of time to go. Alex Smith has also opened up the lead, but it's not a huge one. It's 56% to 44%. And the question there was, which QB would you rather start on your fantasy team for the rest of the season? People are liking Alex Smith over Derek Carr. I think that's a really close one. I could go either way on that one. I could go either way on both, but I get why Crabtree has been a little bit more consistent, gets targeted in the end zone a little bit more. So 1 minute to go, George. Let's get your survivor pool pick and tell me why.
You know, I don't love anybody this week. Nobody truly stands out here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to take Atlanta over New England. I think they might. Dallas over San Fran. I can't trust the Cowboys. So when in doubt, pick the team playing Cleveland, Tennessee.
That's who I have, actually. I ranked him on a show earlier this week. I like the Titans over the Browns. I like the Seahawks over the Giants. And I do like the Vikings at home against the Ravens because they've been so bad offensively. Jerick McKinnon in owners, keep in mind, Brandon Williams, nose tackle for the Ravens, probably back in. He's their big run stopper, and you have to temper expectations for McKinnon. It's Mike and George. We're the Roto Experts. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next Saturday. Have a good week, everybody.